The Blue Hardwood Podcast is a part of the Pulse Podcast Network. The Pulse Podcast Network now has an official ticket provider, Tick Blitz. Give this a listen. It's worth your time.
Have you been searching for the best ticket deals around? Well, look no further. With TickFlix, the price you see is the price you pay. And TickFlix just happens to have over $6 billion in ticket inventory just waiting for you. They absolutely mean it when they say every ticket, every venue, everywhere. And you can save even more with promo code PULSE in all caps to save you 5% off your total purchase. Just go to TickFlix.com and click the search bar. Search events based on your geographic location. Pick the show you want, and bam, it's showtime. Sporting events, Broadway shows, concerts, and more with TickFlix.com. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for the email newsletter so you can stay up to date on the latest news and savings with TickFlix. That's TickFlix.com, TixFlix.com. Every ticket, every venue, everywhere.
Didn't catch the promo code? No problem. So that's PULSE in all caps. Again, that's PULSE in all caps if you want to take 5% off your purchase.
Swing by Cleveland. Down to 10. Down to 8. Down to 7. On the drive. To the rim and the dunk. Oh! What a dunk by Doncic with a foul and a chance at a three-point play. Spectacular stuff.
How's it going, everybody? Brian Zohm, host of the Blue Hardwood Podcast, here with you always. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on when you're hearing this. Recording this March 17th, this is around about 4:26 p.m. Central Standard Time. Got a little preview pod coming up at you. I've got Mr. Preston Ellis, who is a writer with the Early Bird Rights SB Nation webpage for the Pelicans, joining me today. Preston, what's going on, man?
What's going on, dude? I have to correct you. The birdrights.com, Early Bird Rights, is totally separate and associated with a guy who is a big Atlanta Hawks fan.
I'm so sorry. I'm a complete idiot. I don't know why. Like, I get those confused in my head. So sorry about that, Preston. Thank you for correcting me.
No, and I'm glad you gave a shout out to... I'm glad you gave a shout out to Chef Seagull. He's a friend and he's really, really good. If you guys want to check him out at Hoops Rumors, please do.
For sure, man. And then Preston, so you obviously dabble a lot in basketball writing, man. What necessarily got you into writing and pursuing a career in journalism?
Honestly, I spent about 10 years in New York. I'm originally born and raised in New Orleans, went to college in North Carolina, and then I moved down to Florida with my wife to be closer to her family, and I just didn't really connect to too many, I want to say high-level IQ NBA fans in general, but much more so ones who are really involved in the game, the intricacies of it. So I joined up with FanSided just to keep the communication open with Pelicans fans. And then I transferred to SB Nation. I got promoted to associate editor. I started my own podcast. That was my original need or desire to get into the industry just for fun. And I started doing it so much that people pretty much just started paying me. Obviously, in this industry, nobody's making a great deal of money. We do it because we love it. But it went from FanSided to SB Nation to Bleacher Report to B-Ball Index to podcasts. And yeah, man, I just really love the NBA.
I'm so glad to hear that you've been able to kind of stick around and do what you like to do, man. That's awesome. And Preston, why don't you go ahead and just dive in and talk about Pelicans just in general before we preview the game tomorrow as the Mavericks and the Pelicans match up on Monday, March the 18th. So crazy, man, this season with the Pelicans. I'm not for sure anybody really foresaw what was going to happen entirely, obviously. LeBron dictated some things on, hey, I want Anthony Davis, and there was obviously some leaking of information. Supposedly, there's been interesting reports come out last couple of days. People, Jenny Buss, saying she was so mad that the information leaked that and the Lakers were interested in Anthony Davis, and she got so mad it was to the point where she wanted to trade him, and then, you know, there was just back and forth. The Lakers made all these offers to Anthony Davis. The Pelicans said no, which led to the GM firing, and Anthony Davis is still a Pelican. What a mess, my friend. What can you make out of this, and where do you think it's going to end? Where do you see Anthony Davis come this offseason?
Yeah, it's really unprecedented. There's really never been anything quite like this. You can trace it all the way back to Anthony Davis signing with agent Rich Paul. And the story from his camp is that he ultimately did want to end up in New Orleans. However, everything that he's said since that point in time really contradicts that. And if you trace his stats back to December and his hustle stats, just the energy, the rebounding percentage of the team, you can see his effort dipped a little bit in that time. And you can trace that back to the Pelicans' shortcomings due to massive injuries to Elfrid Payton, Nikola Mirotic, Julius Randle, Etuan Moore. The Pelicans were shorthanded yet again. They trail only the Philadelphia 76ers in the past 5 years in injuries. They led the league last year. They were third the year before. So you can certainly sense his frustration. It's the way that he went about it that left a bad taste in Pelicans fans' mouths. If he had just simply said, hey, I want to try something new. But instead, he came out and he talked about legacy. He talked about winning. He mentioned winning 22 times in a conversation with Adrian Wojnarowski. Meanwhile, the Los Angeles Lakers have the highest losing percentage of any NBA team over the past 5 years. Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka have shown no evidence of being credible general managers and presidents. And you've got LeBron James, who's very clearly and publicly pulling his strings. So it leaves a bad taste in Pelicans fans' mouths. However, we've got just 10 games left, and then they're hoping to get a pretty good bounty from him and set us up for the future.
If you had to just have a general idea in your gut, what do you think Anthony Davis ends up next year?
I'm fairly certain it's a package deal to the Boston Celtics, and here's why. At the trade deadline, obviously the Los Angeles Lakers were making a power move to acquire Anthony Davis, and the Pelicans could have just ultimately relented and taken their crop of, you know, Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, first round picks, whatever you want to decipher about that. But then John Gambadero, who's been spot on in some of his assessments in the past, reported that the Pelicans had indeed spoken with Danny Ainge, and Danny Ainge said that everyone was on the table. I think at that point in time, Mickey Loomis and Danny Ainge came from the same hometown. They've known of each other for years and years and years. This was probably their first conversation as presidents of their respective organizations. But I think at that point in time, there was probably a handshake agreement saying from the Pelicans' end, we're not going to deal him now. We're going to wait for you. What can you promise us at this point in time? So I think regardless of what happens with the Boston Celtics, even if Jason Tatum turns into an all-world superstar, they still have possibly 3 to 4 first-round picks this year. And if they don't get all 4 first-round picks, those picks are going to roll over. I think those are going to the Pelicans. In a worst-case scenario, maybe, you know, Jaylen Brown, Al Horford, I don't know, Marcus Smart. You can take your pick of players, but whatever the Boston Celtics are able to deal, it's still going to be better than what the Los Angeles Lakers can afford. The one wild card in all of this would have to be the New York Knicks. If they somehow move into a top 2 pick, Ja Morant or Zion Williamson, that might cause the Pelicans to pump the brakes, but I think this deal's already done.
Wow. And a lot of people don't realize that you had called out Preston, the Celtics potentially have 4 first-round picks, depending on, I think, right now. They have 3 for sure as the season ended today, but I know the 4th, depending on where Memphis actually holds up in their final standings. I believe it. As long as Memphis doesn't finish within they have to finish not in the 8th spot in the lottery standings. As long as they finish lower than that, if 4 goes to Boston, I believe. So that, not to say this draft is like super stacked, but that's like 4 players you could get right there, plus Jaylen Brown and maybe like 2 additional, maybe down the road. Because I mean, Boston has like 10 extra picks in the next 5 years anyway.
Yeah, for sure. So it's the Sacramento pick, the Los Angeles Clippers pick. Those are very lightly protected. Those are probably going to convert. And then the Memphis pick is top 8 protected. Right now they sit at 6th. However, they're tied with Dallas for 7th with 28 wins. And then the Pelicans and the Wizards trail them by just 2 games. So it's certainly very possible that the Memphis could fall out of that. But even if they don't, next year it becomes top 6 protected. And after that, it's unprotected. So it's still a very highly coveted asset.
And Preston, I wanted to get your thoughts on Julius Randle. This was a under the radar to me personally, signing that the Pelicans got this summer. And this was a guy I felt like he would have been a perfect kind of fit in Dallas. He was obviously a Dallas guy. And, you know, it seems like he's found a home potentially in New Orleans. He decided to go insane the other night. I believe this was Friday, where he almost dropped 50 points. it shoots goes 45. I believe he was like 24, 34 from the field or something like that. What has he done for the Pelicans this year? And do you think there's a potential where he opts out of his contract this summer?
He's definitely going to opt out of his contract. He's in line for a big payday for his exploits on the offensive end of the floor. The problem with Julius Randle is that as good as he is on the offensive end of the floor, and he's one of the best scoring big man in the NBA right now, his three-point percentage over the last couple of weeks is up to 38%. Let me check what it is on the season. It's 33.3% on the season right now, but it's been improving every year, and he's vastly improved with all the space that's been afforded to him recently. So on the offensive end of the floor, just three nights ago, he scored 45 points. So he's really been dynamite. However, this is a lot of empty calories right now, and I don't want to be too highly critical of him. I just know for the casual fan, you look at his box scores numbers and you think, oh my God, this guy's an all-star. But everything that he does on the offensive end, he takes away from you on the defensive end. He's really struggled on that end, matching up in transition, just being alert at all times at guys cutting to the basket behind him. Pelicans have not played any defense at all this season, and Julius Randle is a large part of that. Last season, the end of the year, the last 30 games, they were a top 10 defensive team, top five at times. This year, they've been in the back half of that pretty much the entire season. Since Anthony Davis went down for nine games due to injury before the All-Star break, they crept up to between 15th and 20th. Last time I checked, they were 16th. But still, whenever Julius Randle is on the floor, the offense or the defense gives pretty much whatever the team wants. And most of it comes in the paint. To the Phoenix Suns last night, I want to say they gave up 78 points in the paint. Now, that's just a lack of effort. That's a lack of awareness. And a lot of that comes with Julius Randle. So now we're going to go back to praising him. He simply does it all. He can generate his shot against anybody. Rudy Gobert, anybody. He can get past anybody. Evan Turner said the other day, it's really hard to stay in front of a guy, even though he's only something about 240, 245 pounds. It feels like there's a 300-pound monster coming straight for you. And that's what he is. And he's so adept at each hand and getting to the basket and flicking the ball over larger defenders. He can distribute at ease. He's a great rebounder. It's just the defensive side of the floor. So I kind of compare him to like a giant monster version of Lou Williams.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is 8-Bit Ray from the Gorilla Brain Podcast, part of the Pulse Podcast Network. Did you know that you could be using this spot to advertise your company or business? Well, I've done the research, and podcastinsights.com report that podcast listeners are loyal, affluent, and mostly college educated. But most importantly, are five times more likely to interact with the ad they hear on their favorite podcast than an ad from any other medium. If you would like to advertise your company or brand with our network, it's simple. All you have to do is send an email to marketing@pulsepodcastnetwork.com. I'll say it one more time. marketing@pulsepodcastnetwork.com, and we hope to hear from you soon.
Do you feel if there was a center of substance that could play a little defense, do you think that could hide his defenses, his defenses on the defensive end potentially?
Possibly. Julius Randle's a pretty good one-on-one defender, specifically at the four spot and the five spot, and having a rim protector behind him should really help things. And he's kind of got one in former Defensive Player of the Year, top three finalist Anthony Davis. However, it just hasn't translated with the two of them on the floor. He's played a bit better with Cheick Diallo, who gives you better effort and better rebounding percentage. But with that being said, for Julius Randle to be an effective defender and play the four spot as he often does, he has to get out to the perimeter. He has to fight over screens or at least be able to communicate at switching. And that's really been his problem. It's not his physical ability and it's not his ability to match up one-on-one. It's really more the mental side of things. It's really more an awareness, just keeping mindfulness of those guys cutting behind him, those guys coming around him, communicating with his teammates. So I don't think he's ever going to be a good defender. Having a great guy like a Rudy Gobert obviously mitigates things, but it also takes space away from him on the offensive end of the floor. But with that being said, he's been very effective with Anthony Davis on the offensive side of the floor. So I'm not sure what you can do to really help him, except put four great defenders who can shoot from the three around him. And if you do generate that kind of offense around him, I can see how that could be, how that could make it worthwhile to give him somewhere around like 4 years, $70 million. However, I think that Julius Randle is always going to be most effective as a sixth man.
Interesting, interesting take. No, I'm still just trying to imagine Julius Randle as a monster, because I think if he was a monster, he would definitely be, I think he'd be the green one. I think I'm pretty sure that was Patrick Ewing, if I remember that correctly. That's a perfect analogy, Preston. I love that. And just in terms of the game tomorrow, I'm not sure what, you know, both teams could really look for, essentially. You know, it's always a pleasure and delight to watch Luka Doncic whenever you can. But, you know, he was actually out the Saturday matchup versus the Cavaliers. He's still listed as day-to-day banged up, you know, his knee, his ankle. I mean, I personally would be completely open for him to sit out just another game because, I mean, I feel like the Mavericks have just not necessarily worn him down, but, I mean, he's played and done everything where I just don't want him to just get overworked where he extends some type of injury to make it a little bit more serious. From my understanding, I believe Holiday's out as well. Is there anything particular that you're looking forward to in this matchup? I mean, I'm not sure how many times you've seen and got to watch Maverick games this season, but I also wanted to see what were your thoughts on Luka Doncic's rookie season this season so far.
I love watching Luka Doncic. I think he struggled a bit as of late, but he's definitely going to be a surefire all-star next year. In my humble opinion, I think he's the ideal guy you want to run today's modern NBA, a guy with great size, with even better vision, and with an acumen for scoring, kind of a la James Harden. He's got the whole package. He's got that desire to be great. So I think you guys have a surefire top five player on your hands, barring any kind of injury. I do not expect to see him because I think both teams are in full-on tank mode right now, other than the Mavericks win over the Cavaliers. I think you guys lost something like six or seven consecutive games. So you'd have to think that you guys are not trying to win necessarily at this point in time. And I don't know if you watched some of the Pelicans games recently, but it's been just as jarring on the screen. They've lost six consecutive games. And last night against the Phoenix Suns, I think they were winning by three with, I can't remember precisely what was happening, something like 4 seconds remaining. They inbounded the ball to Josh Jackson. All they had to do to foul him to win. They let him take the three-point shot. He sunk it. Then they called a timeout that they didn't have with 1.1 seconds left. So Devin Booker came out and sank the free throw to win the game. So basically the Pelicans are tanking better than anybody right now. And it's really, really ugly basketball. It's really difficult to watch. It's really frustrating. I know that we're trying to get down to that sixth spot in the tankathon lottery odds right now, but geez, it's just jarring. It's disappointing. If you talk to any of the Pelicans full-time media members, everybody knows what's happening, but that doesn't make it any less painful to watch. And I'm expecting we're going to get something similar in this matchup against the Dallas Mavericks. You're only going to get 20 minutes to Anthony Davis. You're not going to get any Jrue Holiday. You're not going to get any Etuan Moore. You're probably going to get limited minutes from Julius Randle, somewhere around 25. You're going to get a triple-double from Elfrid Payton, who's had four in a row. However, in the past six matchups, Elfrid Payton has a plus minus. I'm doing this from memory, but I want to say it's negative 20, negative 20, negative 27, negative 12, negative 18, negative 5. I'm not even sure if that's six. That might have been just five. But basically, he's putting up all the numbers that would make you think he's a good player. But meanwhile, he's silently killing his own squad. So no, I'm not really looking forward to this matchup. But there are a couple of guys on your team that I do enjoy. I want to see what Tim Hardaway Jr. can do. I want to see what Trey Burke can do. Obviously, it might be the last time that I see Dirk Nowitzki play. So that's really exciting. Max Kleber is an interesting player. Dwight Powell, Dorian Finney-Smith. I don't think I've seen much of Jalen Brunson, so that might be interesting, but I wouldn't expect to see Luka Doncic last night, so it was probably going to be another battle of the tankers.
Yeah, and I will just say I'm not sure how much Tim Hardaway Jr. you've watched the past 10 games. He's been pretty much a volume shooter, I guess is a nice thing to say. His shot selection has been a lot, and then not very good. Now, Saturday, he did actually play pretty well, shot the ball pretty decent. I believe it was around 50%. His decision-making has been shaky at best, and it's been really fun to see folks like Maxi Kleber get some time, especially since the Mavericks are trying to decide, are they going to invest in him during the summer? Because they're going to have to decide on that real quick, depending on what they want to do in free agency. And I guess, Preston, the best thing, I guess, to look forward to in this game is Dirk really only needs 4 points to pass Wilt Chamberlain on the all-time scoring list, so there's that to look forward to. And Preston, thank you so much for taking some time out of your busy, busy Sunday. I certainly appreciate it. You're a grinder, sir, and thank you. It really means a lot that you took some time out of your day to talk some basketball with me. And if you could just throw out your social media information so folks can give you a follow and check out your work.
Yeah, for sure. I have two podcasts for both the Magic and the Pelicans. One is called The Bird Calls. That's for the Pelicans. Do You Believe in Magic? For the Magic. You can follow me at Preston Ellis, and I write for thebirdwrites.com, B-Ball Index, Orlando Pinstripe Post, and Bleacher Report. So any support you can give to anybody in this industry is always welcome and appreciated. We all work really hard, and sometimes at the end of the day, all we get for it is a couple of followers, maybe a couple of good job atches. So anything you guys can do, we certainly appreciate it.
You made it to the end of the show. Thank you so much for sticking around. My iPhone users, if you could provide a rate and review of the podcast, that would mean the world to me. And as always, this episode was brought to you by the Pulse Podcast Network. The Pulse Podcast Network has so much different stuff that you can check out on our platform, whether you're a fan of fantasy sports, NFL, NBA, comics, Dungeons & Dragons, wrestling, we got it all. Be sure to check it out on the web at pulsepodcastnetwork.com.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.